This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Comics Collective, the weekly show where we do a comic or graphic novel and sometimes interviews with awesome people, and this is one of those. This is one of those episodes. I am so excited to have with me recurring guest, Wells Thompson. Wells, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Em?
Tired. But, you know, listen, everyone, I'm about to wake up here because, I like to consider this is a family friendly podcast. I drop an appropriate amount of F-bombs per episode. But this time we're gonna be getting a little raunchy here. We are talking pure smut today, and that is no exaggeration. Wells, you have a new Kickstarter out right now for a book appropriately titled, I'm guessing, Smut. Would you like to take a second and talk to us a bit about your new book?
Yeah, Smut is what it claims to be. It's it's a mini series. This first issue is a 32-page book about a personal trainer who's trying to exercise self-control on a first date with a hot photographer. And it goes, depending on what your outlook is, either exceptionally well or exceptionally poorly by the end. The idea is just we wanted to make a really fun, sex-positive book that sort of inadvertently talks about relationships and communication and how to build like a solid base of trust and respect of between partners, and show that in a bunch of different relationship dynamics.
That's awesome. That's everything I love hearing. I love me a good sex positive story. I'm always here for it in comics. I think we need more of it. Who is, before I go any further, who is with you on the book? Who is your team?
Okay, so I am co-writing this book with my wife, Brianna.
Nice.
She is not a professional writer per se. She is a scientist and an incredibly smart person, but she did spend much of her early life writing Fullmetal Alchemist and Oren High School Host Club Smutfic on AO3. So she has some experience in this regard. She was an incredibly insightful creative partner on this, and mm-hmm. I was really thrilled to be able to work with her on it because I love working with her in general, just in life. But she had a lot to say and was really insightful, and especially in issues 2 and 3, had a real influence on how those stories turned out. Our artist is Bianca Milanes, whom I reached out to pretty randomly. I did not know any of her work at the time, but I thought I really loved her style, and she turned out to be a perfect fit for it. Turns out she's quite popular, so it worked out very well. Brazilian artist living in Portugal, and just a delightful person, and has a very it's webtoon-ish, but it's very bright and sort of aesthetic characteristics of art. Yeah, she's doing the line art and the colors. DC Hopkins on letters. He's a phenomenal letterer. He is the head of And World Design, and there's every other book is lettered by And World Design, so he has his hands in just about everything. Krista Herotter, good friend of mine, is the editor. They were super insightful. They have been, or they're currently in the Kiltopia anthology, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. Who else? Brenda Snell, my designer, makes my creative life worth pursuing. easily one of the best people that I work with, and makes my life much, much easier. And yeah, and then Eileen Wajaja and Aliza Romboli are doing the variant covers. So that would be the full team. And I'm, yeah, definitely the full team. I would really hate myself if I missed someone, because everyone brought so much stuff to this book.
Well, that's an amazing team of talent. I love Lisa Romboli. I love those variants. I personally sprung for the tier that has all the variants because I couldn't choose. So yeah, definitely had to. But this is a different book from what you've been doing before. You went from Mechaton, which was very sci-fi, into Catskill, which was very fantasy, and now you're jumping into something completely different. So how did this book come about? What made you be like, this is the next book I need to do? This is the next step I'm going to take?
So about a year ago, it would have been about a year ago now, I was about 3 months into my move to Chicago. And moving just like disrupts your life in a very real way.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredibly stressful. I was working a new job. I was paying two mortgages. I was just like, I wasn't in a good place creatively. I wasn't really able to kind of come up with any new ideas. And at some point I was just like, I recognize I'm in a bad place. I've got to do something about it. So I just, like called off sick to work, went to a cafe and just like sat down and started writing until I came up with something that like I could get invested in. And the idea of doing like a not safe work comic, I've just been so steeped in like Kickstarter culture for so long.
Yeah.
They're everywhere on Kickstarter. And I had just gotten into Sunstone. I had just gotten into, I had read a little while ago, I had read like Money Shot. But I was just really getting into comics that broached the topic with a lot of like reverence and respect for the characters. And I was like, what would I do if I tried to, you know, do a not safe for work book? And, that what I came up with was these three women trying to sort out their incredibly messy love lives. And it was supposed to be just something that I did for fun and then shelved and never talked about to anyone ever again. And instead it became very clear very quickly. I have a lot to say about the topic and I really want to stay in this world. And this is probably going to have to be something that I bring to my backers. So to my readership.
Yeah, very, very cool. I really want to touch on having a lot to say in there, but I think one of the first things I want to ask, just because it's one of those questions that always, you know, eats at the back of my head, going to I almost want to call it a genre, but, you know, just that slice of life with that sex positive edge. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like have been the biggest, like, obstacles you've been trying to fight while tackling that? Because sex is a subject that has to be very difficult to talk about, just not just in real life, but imagine putting into your work. How has that been?
So it requires a lot of vulnerability. And I think the biggest obstacle was just purely mental, was just like the idea of like, oh, what are people going to think of me if I put this book out? Even more so than something like Mechaton or Frankenstein the Unconquered. Like, if it's not very good, suddenly it feels like I'm doing much worse of a job because this is about sex, because this is about relationships, mm-hmm. Because it is so vulnerable. I've put so much of myself out there. So a lot of the obstacles just came from that. Just the idea of like, oh, this is, you know, this is very make or break in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But once you kind of let that go, it became really freeing and it became just a lot of fun to explore. It was different in the sense that a lot of my comic work so far has been driven by action, has been driven by sword fights and punch ups
right.
and transformation sequences. And this is a very talk heavy book leading up to sex scenes. But weirdly, that actually meshes onto what I've done in fiction, like way longer than comics. Mm-hmm. I've written novels and short stories, and those are usually very talky and very little action. So it mapped pretty well onto it. And given that I've worked so for about 5 years in comics now, meshing those two things together was a lot more natural than I initially expected it would be. It was mostly just mental blocks. It wasn't, mm-hmm. I felt like the stories came very naturally. The action beats were not like forced. I didn't have to look for things to talk about or things to touch on. It was just a really natural, fun experience.
Yeah. I love hearing that. That's fantastic. You mentioned Sunstone, and I'm going to have to bring it up because you
obviously
talked about Sunstone a bit. Sunstone's one of my favorites. Pulling from that, and you also mentioned off camera before we started the show that Giant Days was another one of those comics that you pulled from.
Yeah.
Going for trying to find the tone of this comic, trying to find the heart of it, what was the main thing you wanted to achieve, and what did you learn from those other books?
From Giant Days, it was more the general like vibes and expressiveness of mm-hmm. the characters. I really wanted to make these women kind of jump off the page, not in as literal a way as that book achieves, because mm-hmm. that Giant Days is very cartoony and animated, and I love that about it. But I knew that this was going to be a little bit more grounded. Whereas, yeah, Sunstone, it was a little bit more literal because that comic is about a relationship and building a relationship and building trust between two people. And that's what I've always really loved about comics that kind of that take a step into sort of erotica territory, is that you get to explore extremely vulnerable spaces between people in ways that you don't necessarily get to all the time in your science fiction and action heavy books and things like that. I love both of those stories, and I think I mentioned off camera as well, like Money Shot was an eye-opening experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what comics can do. This is, you know, sex doesn't have to be a thing that's on the variant cover or like a one-page thing that happens that's just kind of there so that you can say that it happened. It can be an integral part of the storytelling. It can express who the characters are, and I really wanted to write a comic that existed in that space and could be talked about alongside those books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a admirable task. It might be a huge task, but I have all the faith in the world that you're gonna knock it out of the park here. The going into like, you know, whenever you hear that there's sex in a comic, a lot of times people have that initial gut reaction where it's like, oh, it's just here is like the fan service. This is here because,
yeah,
you know, sex sells. Oh, go for it.
I can't stand that. I really can't. There's that moment in, I know we've had or at least a brief exchange about it.
Mm-hmm.
That Black Cat and Mary Jane comic that came out where the cover is like, It's drawn in the most gross, stereotypical, like, what a 60-year-old comic artist thinks sexy looks like. But then the interior pages, like, you get these shots of Black Cat where people are turning their heads, and it doesn't come from, like, her necessarily revealing a lot of skin or wearing something that's super impractical. Mm-hmm. She's just like in a leather jacket and cut up jeans, and she looks hot as fuck. And I'm like, that it's such a stark contrast between like what actually works to make a character sexy versus what people often lean on to force a character into that box.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really think that comics needs more of the latter and less of the former.
Yeah. To me, it's always felt like there's that, I feel like, you know, attraction and arousal in the story is just the same as any other emotion. There's ways to force it and there's ways for it to hit naturally. And I feel like there's definitely ways to force sexiness into a comic, to force sexuality into a comic, and then ways where it's just, you don't even have to try. It just is. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like a lot of that is tied to a lot of the vulnerability and the honesty that you put into the story? Do you feel like that's what separates the bottom of the barrel from the cream of the crop?
That's definitely a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And the other part is that, like, when you make a statement...
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Or when you do something to signal that a character is attractive, that the reader is meant to find the character attractive, that should serve the story in some way beyond just look at how hot this thing that I drew is.
Right.
Because like I, you know, there's no shortage of material that you can find on the internet or anywhere else of just hot things looking hot. It's a whole ecosystem. And not to shame anyone, there are mm-hmm. definitely cases for that, like 100%. But if I'm buying your comic, if I'm reading it to engage with the story, I want to fall in love with the characters, and I want to like experience that. I want the experience of getting to know them to be as visceral as, you know, meeting someone in real life. And you know, that's what I love about Sunstone. It's not that it's a trashy BDSM like erotica comic. It's mm-hmm. that it feels like you're falling in love for the first time in high school, and you're nervous, and it's all coming together in this, you know, somewhat awkward and clumsy way, but in a way that's just super charming and endearing, and on top of that is genuinely authentically erotic.
I love that. Sorry, no, I'm definitely biased, but I love that very much. I had a question off the top of my head, but it's completely
okay,
jumped away from me. Oh, I remember what it was. You were talking earlier about how you mostly done action, and that's been a lot of the focus in your comics, and now it's more about the quiet moments, the people talking to each other, those relationships, that character building. Do you feel like, this is going to sound like the craziest question you've ever gotten, do you feel like some of that action, the ability you have to write action scenes, do you feel like that kind of incorporates itself into the pacing of this comic, especially when you have to get to scenes like sex scenes? What I'm basically asking is, do you feel like you're able to choreograph the sex scenes well because of all your experience choreographing action in your comics?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think that the sort of pacing that goes into it and the way you have to think about it goes hand in hand. If you write a story that is all cool things happening and all explosions and werewolves jump out of nowhere, mm-hmm. and it's like, I can present you with a 20-page comic of just stuff that looks cool happening, and none of it is going to fall, or it's all going to fall flat unless you have a real connection to the characters and there's stakes and there's, you know, it's all built up to and earned. And sex scenes are, or at least should be, played the same way, where it's a culmination of characters interacting. It's a culmination of the story as it's been presented so far. Mm-hmm. You know who the characters are, you know what the stakes are, and the fact that it's happening should be a plot point, but also what happens should tell you something about the characters.
Right.
Yeah, doing Catskin was a lot of fun because in all of the choreography for the sword fighting, I was constantly adding notes of like Iselda is super has like a really acrobatic style, and that could like that informs sort of where she came from and what her personality is. She's a bit of a show off. She wants to boast. She wants to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Camille is a lot more reserved. Everything that she does is very martial, is very disciplined and exacting. And same thing with sex scenes. The way they act when they're naked shouldn't be any different than the way they act when they're talking mm-hmm. to each other.
Makes sense. Fair philosophy. And, you know, it all makes sense now, because going straight from Catskill to this, it feels like a natural evolution, because sapphic swordplay is basically just sapphic foreplay, so that all checks out. You mentioned you were co-writing this with your wife. How has that been? What has been, you know, she's a scientist, that's awesome. She's, you know, I'm not biased about this at all, but I think scientists can really write. They know their shit. And I'm not saying that because I'm a chemist full time, but you know, talk
Are
about
you actually
it.
A chemist full time?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's awesome.
I went to school, got my biology degree, so I can go work as a chemist. So that's great.
Yeah, yeah, my wife is a molecular biologist. She does medical research.
Ooh. So yeah, no.
That's
really impressive.
She's taking a nap right now. I really wish that I had brought her into this interview now, because I'm sure you two could nerd out. she's incredibly sharp. Mm-hmm. I mean, I married her. She's the love of my life. I can, but like, I was a little bit nervous about bringing her on from a point of view of like, you never know how you're going to interact with people, especially writing. I feel like writing the artist, there's a lot more, you can have a very amicable, open relationship. And generally, you know, things go pretty smoothly. You can sort out your differences. Writing, you're operating on potentially different philosophies of how to, my main writing partner has been Dalton. And we have gotten at each other's throats at the way certain things are depicted in Mechaton, because it boils down to like who we are as people, just butting heads. And I was a little, you know, so I'm always a little bit worried about working with people from a writing perspective, trying to co-write things. Brianna, to her credit, was like, I've never written a comic script. I don't really know how to do that. I'm not going to like try and enforce, you know, my vision of how this should go necessarily, but was very like open and defensive of her ideas, mm-hmm. brought a lot to the table in terms of the characters. It was basically, we had a long conversation about what should this be and what should this look like. Then I went to a coffee shop and wrote it down, made a script, brought it back to her, and she came back with a bunch of notes and said, this works, this doesn't. And we hashed it out until we had it right. And that was sort of in varying stages on different ones. I would say this first issue is like 80% me, 20% her. The second issue is very split down the middle. And the third issue is like 80% her, 20% me.
Ooh, very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see her perspective. I'm excited for this to get to three issues, because I have no doubt that it will. Moving on, I wanted to talk a little bit about Bianca and your process working with her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask pronouns at the beginning. So sorry about that.
And I'll pull out my cheat sheet to make sure, but Bianca is she, her, for sure.
Okay. Awesome.
My wife is she, they. She works just fine. Mm-hmm. If you want to spice it up. and then DC is he, him.
Got it. Well, Bianca, how's that been? Because you said you just reached out, just shot in the dark.
Yeah, so Twitter, collaboration online is very weird. You know, there once was a time where if you were making a comic, it had to be in the same room. And the internet has done a lot of good things and a lot of harm. But one of the great things it's done is I do not have to work with the same artist that live, you know, that I give lodging to or work in the same office with. And so, yeah, it was a really open question of what this book might look like and who might draw it. And I just stumbled upon Bianca. I saw some of her character work. She had put out, maybe it was a Portfolio Day post. I don't quite remember. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of like popped in my head of like, oh, that would be a fun, you know, way of doing this book, of drawing this, making it like slightly more webtoon, kind of animated, cartoony, and then reached out to her, sort of expecting to not hear back, because of course, if you, it's always a bit of a journey asking someone to do, not safe for work art or explicit art. Anyway. And that was really important of just like every stage of the process being like, how comfortable are you with this? You know, it's okay. It's totally okay. If you say no, it's not going to change, not going to change my opinion of you. But she was very responsive, very professional, really, really easy to talk to. And at first was a little bit hesitant about the subject matter just because that wasn't something she had done before. She'd done kind of spicy stuff. She hadn't necessarily done erotica the way I was kind of pitching it as. Mm-hmm. And then I just said, okay, if you want, you can read the script and see how you feel about it. And a couple days later, she was like, I have to draw this. So I was like, fair enough, let's do it.
That's a great evolution. That's a good sign.
Which is I will say it's a great ego boost as a writer to give your just your script to someone,
yeah,
and have them be like, yes, I need to.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. How do you feel her art style is going to fit in with the story? What is she bringing the most to the table?
Oh, expression, personality. I mean, I had a really clear vision of who I wanted these women to be and sort of what they brought to the table. And Bianca just imbued them with so much life and energy. And yeah, it really is not afraid of the challenge at all. And just, yeah, I think she's a perfect match for the book. Yeah, absolutely love getting pages back from her. They're always so vibrant and expressive and match what I wanted the book to be. Mm-hmm. So well.
It's got to have that right energy, and mm-hmm. It sounds like it will.
For sure.
Well, I think I'm got through all the questions I wanted to ask. So I'm gonna pass it over to you for a second. Talking about the campaign, is there anything that you want to mention that hasn't been talked about yet? And also, for the people listening, I'm going to be putting the link to the campaign in the description for this episode, so you can just follow that. Check it out. Support it if you can. Mm-hmm. Really, really appreciate you. That'll be right there. Yeah. When does this campaign end? Give us the details.
Absolutely. The campaign is live right now. It ends on May 8th at noon Eastern time. At time of recording, we are approaching 90% funded. So in all likelihood, I don't know how quickly you turn around stuff, but it may very well be funded by the time this comes out. We'll be working on stretch goals. We have a lot of exciting stuff over there. Some of my favorites, we have an enamel pin of a little cactus that says, I will be a better person for you. That is designed by Brenda Snell. It is one of my favorite little pieces of like memorabilia and extra stuff that we've made for a comic. As we mentioned before, we have several variant covers, I think four total. And they're all brilliant and all just so wonderfully capture the spirit of the book. Yeah, it's a book called Smut, and I hope that you're not embarrassed to read it on the train. But other than that, you'll love it.
If you are embarrassed, just put it inside your copy of Sunstone, so that way no one thinks anything is going on. They'll be completely fooled.
Look, I read Lovesick on the train, and
oh, that's bold.
It was hard for me, but no one cared. Well, I'll just say, if I can get away with it, you can get away with it.
Yeah. If you're in a big city, you're on the train, no one cares what you're doing. Not even if you lean over, poke them, and say, hey, look at this, and show them the page. They're not going to give a shit. Just, you know, stay in your lane. You'll be fine. You mentioned this interview. I'm planning to put it up on Friday. Interviews normally go out Monday, but since this is a Kickstarter, I want to get out as soon as possible. I'll get it out for the weekend. So in case it is funded by then, I don't want that to dissuade anyone from going out and supporting the book. You should check it out and read it. But do you have any stretch goals currently that you're aiming for?
Yes. We have, for our first stretch goal, we've got some, we have a digital bundle. So if you back the book at even a dollar, you get, 5 comics completely free. Ooh. And we're looking to expand that with the first stretch goal. So we're going to add 2 more on there. We're also going to add a, new sticker and enamel pin, for you to grab. It says shark-like and powerful, which is another joke from the book. I know that the second one, we have an artist that we've collaborated with, Flops, from the UK, is doing a print for us. I'm really excited to see that. We are also adding, give me just one second.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we're also going to give everyone a temporary tattoo.
Oh, hell yeah. There we go.
Which was an idea my wife had, and I've never been so... I was just like, that is the most brilliant thing. temporary tattoo. Why not? We also have a Spotify playlist that we've put together for the first issue, and we will release that at the second stretch goal. Mm-hmm. Third stretch goal, every physical package that goes out gets a print by Melissa Caprione, the woman that wrote Basil and Oregano, or the Drew Basil and Oregano.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to say her last name, and I am so sorry if you're listening, Melissa. She is absolutely fantastic. I love her work. It's not going to be smutty. It's going to be more like romantic, mushy fluff, but still really beautiful stuff. And we're going to have a limited hollow foil printing of one of the covers. Whatever the most popular one is. And then big stretch, but if we get to the fourth stretch goal, we're going to put in extra at back matter, including some preview pages for the next issue. And we're going to add a 11x17 print by Chloe Brazelford, who you may recall from Black Canary, but thick. You've seen that image, you know.
See, now I shouldn't have asked, because now that you told me that Chloe might do something for the big one, now I need it to happen. So everyone listening to this podcast, I'm holding you accountable for my enjoyment. And don't disappoint me.
Do not disappoint Anne. Let's get this done.
I will ring you up like Darth Vader. And you will have one chance to explain yourself. The last question I have before I let you go, Wells, because you mentioned it briefly. What is the tattoo? What is the temporary tattoo? I gotta know.
Oh, it's gonna be if you look on the campaign page, you can see mm-hmm. that Dakota has a tattoo, the main character of this first issue. Mm-hmm. This really beautiful, elegant floral tattoo. It's gonna be a smaller version of that, and it's gonna include the words shark-like and powerful.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. Because we want you to feel shark-like and powerful.
As you should. Sharks are awesome. I'm a biologist. I know what I'm talking about.
I'm about to host a PowerPoint party at my house, and my PowerPoint is why sharks are better than people. So,
you don't even have to click next. I already agree with you. Wells, thank you so much for being on here today. It's always a blast to talk to you. I'm super excited to read Smut, and I hope everyone out there is too. When you're not here, when you're not giving interviews about your awesome, sexy comics, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, regretfully, at Wellsbump, my name minus the last three letters. You can also find me on Substack. I run a newsletter called Comics, Cats, and Cocktails. We put out monthly big updates and then occasional smaller updates. I'm also planning on putting out my first novel chapter by chapter on Substack, so keep an eye out for that.
Very cool.
And other than that, wellsthompson.com. If you are an editor at a publishing company and it sounds like maybe you want to hire me, contact me through my website and or approach me in any way you feel like, honestly.
Come up to him on the street. Just do it. Just say, hey.
If you grab me by the shoulders on the street and go, I work for IDW, I want you to write a book. Thank you.
Like, okay, thank you, Heather Antos, but thank you. Email would have been acceptable too. Well, anyways, it was great to have you on. Hope to talk to you again when issue 2 is coming out. And in the meantime, everyone, make sure you click the link in the description, go back that book, and we will see you next week. Bye, all.